Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Thank you so much for praying, for actively participating in that prayer time. And I believe God is going to honor your prayer, your desire to be filled by Him today. In your bulletin today, you should have received an insert that looks like this. It's kind of blank on one side. It's an area for you to follow along and take some notes. If you didn't bring anything to write with, we have some pencils over here. Feel free to grab some. That would be fine. On the back side, instead of Scripture today, we have a little bit of an announcement regarding Project B, which will be launching next Sunday. So it's going to be really exciting to see what God does through all of this. And on the inside, 6 more devotional readings for us to continue our path and our journey walking with God and hungry to see what He's going to do in our life. And those words, those Scripture readings, what they do is they're designed to kind of take you from today and then lead you ready for what God has for us on Sunday, this next Sunday coming. So if you take moments during your week to even read one or two of those, it really does, it has the opportunity really to impact your preparation for your worship time tomorrow, or this coming Sunday. I would like to take just a few brief moments to just kind of recap quickly what we talked about last week. This was definitely a message and a sermon that really caught a lot of our attention as we were walking with in our particular journeys with God. And I felt like it would be good for us to just take a couple of minutes again to kind of recap and rethink about this. We began this series, it's just last Sunday and today, to talk about appetites. And we defined appetites this way: a natural desire to satisfy bodily needs. It's a natural thing for us to get hungry. It's a natural thing for us to get thirsty. And when we ignore that, problems happen. A few months ago, maybe a few weeks ago now, I don't really quite remember, but I had a problem where I played ball in the morning, I sweat like crazy. You know, I preach in sweat, so you can imagine what I do when I play basketball. And I came home and I did some things and I didn't really rehydrate myself very well. And it was actually, I was sitting at Clark Ingham's mother's memorial service, and all of a sudden I got sick. Sick to the point where it was like nasty. And Steve can tell you, it was like unnatural. But because my body began to do what was unnatural to itself, really, because I was needing water and needing rehydration, it started sweating profusely again, out of nowhere. Because if we don't take care of those natural tendencies to put water in our body and to eat the way we ought to, the body doesn't like it. And it will react in such a way that's not healthy and good for us. But these appetites are a natural part of our process, the way God designed us. We looked at this scripture, Proverbs 27:7. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And what we learned from that proverb was that if you come here and you've done everything you can to satisfy your natural desires, you will quite possibly turn away the very best that God has for you. And you won't make enough room inside of your soul for Him to come and fill you. But if you come hungry, if you come desiring for God to do something in and through you, and you're willing to shed off your masculinity, and you're willing to shed off your femininity, and you're willing to just let God use you as a person that He has created, then He will fill you, and everything that comes across your plate that is of Him will seem sweet. Everything. You are making yourself available for God to do something amazing in you. We also looked at Jesus' words in Matthew 5 when He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And that begged the question, are you hungry? Are you really hungry for the righteousness that God wants to offer you? And I challenged all of us at the end of that message to be committed to 3 things. First of all, to be committed to praying. To be people who are seeking God by praying. And that might be a very foreign thing for a lot of us. But that we would take moments to just even utter a phrase to God throughout our day. that we might even wake up a touch early and spend a quiet moment with God and asking Him to guide you. Maybe before you lay your head on the pillow at night, that you would thank God for His blessings and ask Him for His protection. Then I also asked us to consider fasting. I asked us to consider being a church who would go without certain things of our world so that we could be more focused on what God wants for us. That could be a fasting of a meal. It could be a fasting of many meals. It could be the fasting of Facebook. It could be the fasting of anything, really. Because what we need to do is allow ourselves to become hungry for God. And sometimes when we have other desires like that that we fast from, it draws our attention back to Him. And then the third thing I asked us to consider to do, to commit to, is to be people of surrender. That we wouldn't put our issues, our needs in front of everything else, but that we would be people who surrender to what God has for us. As I was in my office Friday afternoon with both of my children begging for more computer time or wanting to do crafts and kind of going crazy and reading a few scriptures for our study guide for this next week coming up when we're talking about Project B, the phone rang. Now, I had the pressure of the kids. I had an appointment to go see a dog. I had all this stuff going on. My wife is away. And the phone rings at the office. And I thought to myself for just a moment, I should not answer that phone. I've got a lot to do. But it was a local call, so I decided to take it. And on the other end of that phone was a gentleman who was desperate, who had a handful of pills, literally, and who was really just tired, weary. And at that moment, I wanted to say, yeah, but I've got things to do. I mean, I'm a pastor. I've got to prepare. I've got this sermon. You don't understand how long it takes to do that. I got kids. No, I had to surrender to this plan, this divine conversation that later took me to meet this individual, to spend a half an hour, 40 minutes talking with him. That's surrender. That's taking... I don't say that to say, look at me, how cool is that? Because that's nothing. I feel like I didn't even do enough. But to take what God presents to you and surrender your time, your schedule to His plan. That's surrender. That's going out of our way for what He desires for us to do. I came across this song this week. I actually want to play it for you right at the beginning as a way to kind of put the connection between last week and this week. This song that the words are going to be on the screen for you. This song will help us understand and draw us to a place where we need to acknowledge our level of hunger and our dependence of what we're really living for. So would you take a moment? Let's watch the words of this song and listen to it. If all we need to do is close our eyes and listen to these words, that would be great. But let's let this song speak to our heart today. So I listened to this song early in the week, and it's all that's been ringing through my head. It's been haunting and yet comforting. Because out of all the response I've heard from last week's service and last week's message, I keep asking myself, if all that we do is we come and we hear a good message about being hungry, but we go home not changed, and if we can't sing a song that talks about the only thing worth living for and don't mean it, then we're kind of just playing church. Right? I mean, I don't mean to be harsh about that, but I'm trying to be truthful and sensitive. I want to be a pastor who's more and more hungry for God. More and more hungry. That my marriage would be blessed and better because of that. My fathering skills would go off the charts if I could just fully grasp and understand my need and desire to be hungry for what God has for me. That's my desire. So I ask for those of you who were with us last week, those of you who have been contemplating some of those things, how are we doing? Are we here today more hungry than we were last week? Are we here today more desireful for God to fill us? I hope so. The phrase in that song that seems to be the most challenging for me is the final one. You're all this heart is living for. You're all this heart desires. You're all this soul is hungry for. as we continue to talk about hunger and appetites, I ask the question today, what are you living for? What are you desiring in your life? Where are your heart's desires? If you're not sure, this is how you're going to find out. You find out your heart's desires by trying to go without something and figure out if you can do it or not. Right? If you're going to go without food for a while, it's not going to take long before you realize you really missed that. Correct? Maybe even just a matter of a few minutes. And you decide that, you know, I kind of live for that. And I think we all do. Live for food. Right? Food is our life source. What if some of you were to go without coffee? Whoa, Pastor, you're crossing the line here. Right? I mean, sometimes we wake up in the morning and the very first thing that's on our mind is, did the coffee machine kick on and am I ready to pour my first cup? Right? There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm asking you, is that kind of the first thing and the only thing? Is that too strong of a desire? I don't know. Sometimes relationships are things that we are so focused on that they become very strong desires in our life. Sometimes work. Is that overwhelming, strong desire in our life that we cannot quench. So go without. Well, you can't go without, right? Some of us have gone without. We don't want to go without. But when you go on vacation, are you still thinking about work? Guilty. You know, when you try to get away for a weekend, are you still thinking about work? Are you still taking calls? Is that cell phone right there? What are you living for? What's your heart's desire? I joke about this with the internet, the computer, Facebook, blogging. Can you blog without, you know, go a day without blogging? I don't know. How many of you blog? We got a new system in our house called Net Nanny, and it monitors the time that our children are on. It only allows them 30 minutes a day. They are freaking out. And I think it's good. I think it's a great program to say you don't need that much time. Right? These are all different types of appetites, things that drive us, those desires to satisfy various longings in our life. Well, appetites can be kind of a funny thing. Just even talking about our normal everyday appetites. Appetites are often things that are driven by what we know we need. You know, we know we need to eat healthy, right? So I brought a couple of things with us, things we all, you know, we know we need. I had a hard time picking some things because I don't really prefer these all the time. I found an eggplant. It was damaged and on sale. So, you know, I guess it's healthy. We need our veggies, good-looking apples, some bananas. We know we need these things. So when these things are available to us, do we choose them? Do we go out of our way to make sure we do that? We know we need this. We've been taught since we were in third grade. You know, Mr. Freeman teaches us how we're supposed to eat healthy, right? But do we often do that? Well, no. Not so much. But, you know, we're convinced of those things and we know that they exist. We need to do that. Sometimes our appetites are driven by what we think we want, right? Sometimes we know that we should eat the banana for the snack. But doggone it, if mint-flavored Oreos don't sound a whole lot better. Right? And so we know what we need, but we really want this. This is a good full package of, and I'm touching it. I'm having a hard time here. How about the Reese's Pieces? Anybody else have a problem with chocolate and peanut butter going together in their life? I couldn't put this away. By the way, there's a meeting for first impressions later on today. We'll be eating these. If you're motivated at all, show up. You know, sometimes we just get caught up with the stuff we think we really want. And our appetites drive that, right? Well, sometimes our appetites are often driven by what we've done. This is a phrase that's talking about the habits that we formed in our life. That a lot of times we just form various habits and we don't even know why we formed them. I've already talked about this drink already once today, but some of us, you know, we have to have what's in here. Okay, this is just water. But if you really want it, but
you know what it represents. Coffee. And my dad, when he went into business, he was a Chevrolet dealer for 20 years, which should get me some kind of credibility around here. But for the first 7 years he was in business, the stress level was so high, he just had to have this in his hand. And he realized that so much caffeine was coming into his body was not good. So then for the next several years at least, he walked around with a cup full of water. It was just that, it was that nervous tension that he had to have a hold of a cup. Right? So sometimes this becomes our thing. Sometimes others of us choose another drink of choice. Right? And we don't go just too very far without having a Diet Coke. Thank you very much. I think I will. So, I've been waiting to get to this point in the sermon for about 20 minutes. We all have these habits that we form and we don't even know why. If you knew what in Diet Coke, you wouldn't drink Diet Coke, let me tell you. People, you know, it's crazy. But this past, what we've learned, what we've done, these habits that we form, they form our appetites. Sometimes our appetites are often driven by our own individual uniqueness. These are certain likes and dislikes that are just special to who you are. You know, all of our metabolism is different, so some of us can eat like crazy and it not affect us at all. Some of us gained a pound looking at the Oreos today. We're all unique and we're all different, and that drives us sometimes because of that. Some of you would eat, like my brother would growing up, olives right out of the jar, you know? Ooh, man, you want to make me get really nauseous. I don't puke easy, but that is not anything I'm interested in. And so some of us just naturally are driven to that because that's the way God has uniquely designed you. And the final thing that appetites often are is that they often challenge us by our own determination. Tammy talked about this, that our will is stronger than our emotions, but oftentimes we don't listen to that. Sometimes our appetites are driven by what we know we must do. And we become determined to see that happen. You know? That's when we get to a place usually following a crisis where we realize change needs to happen. You know, the blood test comes back and your sugar's just a little high and you've got to make a decision to knock out some things. And that is a decision that you must make that's based on your willpower, on your own personal ability to control yourself over being a person of indulgence. So appetites are often many of these things. And I want to use those phrases to kind of guide our thoughts spiritually today as we continue to think about this. Tammy found this scripture this week as well. I want us to read it, to see it on the screen today. She posted a section of it on her Facebook wall, and I went there and I thought, fantastic psalm for us to hear again today. This is Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied with the richest of foods, with singing lips. My mouth will praise you. In a dry and weary land, the psalmist writes about God's provision, God filling them with food, with praise, with righteous things. Are we hungry today? Are we able to look at what God wants to fill us with? Well, let's look at those five things that we just talked about, how our appetites are driven from a more spiritual standpoint. First of all, what we know we need. When we consider our spiritual appetites of what we know we need, it might look like this. What we know we need is a relationship with God that is based on faith. This is what we know. We are convinced that the healthy strategy, the healthy plan of spiritual growth is by establishing a relationship with God based on faith. I believe in this God. Secondly, that our walk with God is one that's experiencing forgiveness. It's not enough to come in and just kind of rub off on what it looks like or feels like to be Christian. We must be people who are willing to experience forgiveness, to ask for forgiveness from the Almighty. And I'll tell you, He willingly and quickly offers it to us all. we know that we also need a growing relationship with God that is based on His Word, that is through His Word. We need to be people who are spending time here. We don't have to be scholars of the Bible, but if we're going to be people who are allowing our hunger and our appetites to be filled by Him, we need to spend some amount of time here. That's the whole nature of this insert, is to give you some form, some strategy. If you want to use a different strategy, that's perfectly fine. But here's one way that you can begin to look at God's Word throughout the week. And the last thing I wanted to mention in what we know we need, the healthy food element of this discussion, is that our commitment with God needs to be expressed in Christian community. That's coming together. That's what happened this weekend with 25 ladies. It wasn't all perfect and not everybody got along just superb, right? Not every moment was filled with bliss. Sure, there was a lot of laughters and there was great moments, and I hope that that continues. But it's that Christian community, it's that coming together in faith here where we can share our weaknesses and our strengths, where we can share life that holds us together. That is part of the food group that we need to be experiencing and feeling God work in and through us. That's what we know we need. It's often hard to do that. It's often hard to eat healthy, but we know we need to do this. Now, sometimes our appetites spiritually are what we think we want, like those Oreos or those Reese's Pieces. What we think we want often sometimes looks like busyness with church. That's supposed to be busyness. Busyness with church activity, where we just get busy, and we want to be people who are just doing church all the time. Sometimes we feel like that satisfies our spiritual drive, but quite honestly, that can be just a big pile of junk food. Sometimes it's that expectation that our personal needs are met. This church needs to satisfy me. Sometimes it's that certain level of comfort that we want to experience in life. Why can't life be easy? Why can't things... I'm trying to do my best. Why is it always bad? Why have I lost my spouse? Why am I going through this certain illness? Why do I have to struggle? Why am I unemployed? Why? And we expect that somehow, spiritually speaking, that life will get easier with God. That's not always the case. Sometimes we want is a clear path to success and happiness. And I wish I could stand here. And there are certain churches who do, to say the closer you get to God, the more He wants to bless you. And they'll dance around and they'll tell you that all you have to do is turn everything over to God and give to the church, and all of a sudden your bank is going to overflow. And I want to tell you that. I do. And I believe that God's riches are available for us, but they don't always translate in money. And they don't always translate in houses. And they don't always translate in new cars. God's wealth and what He has to offer us is much deeper, much more valuable than any of that stuff. But we think that if what we want is that clear path to success and happiness. Well, sometimes our appetites are also found in what's in our past, what's shaping us for today. So we ask the question, what's in our past that's shaping us now? Well, sometimes we've formed good habits spiritually. Some of us have formed fantastic habits of being in small group, spending time in prayer, spending time in God's Word, and allowing God to rearrange our schedule. Those are great habits, and usually those are formed very young in life. The best thing we can do to our children, the best thing we can do for our children, is to shape good spiritual habits in their life, where they see us doing God's work. Sometimes, though, we've allowed bad habits to come into our life. Bad habits that are adopted as routine and we don't even know why. Just like that desire to drink a Diet Coke instead of the water out of that other cup. I mean, sometimes we just do things we don't even really thought why, but they've become our routine and they have formed part of our past. Yet we hunger for some of that. Sometimes we have guilt from past sins that keep us from moving forward today. We know what we've done. We know how bad it's been. We know the things that are in our heart that is from our past. And it keeps us so stuck from moving forward. It's part of our appetite. It's part of what we know, what we're comfortable with. Sometimes when we look at our past, we see empty promises of spiritual growth. I promise I'll do better. I promise I'll read more. I promise I'll pray more. But those empty promises have never really fully come to fruition, and they keep you from reaching for more today. That's part of our past that needs to really be dealt with and allow God to work with and shape us moving forward. How has God designed you? How has God designed you as a special individual for communicating and connecting with Him? This is a process where we find that path that God has made for your unique design. Some of us, God has made readers. That makes reading the Bible really easy. But for some of us, we're not readers. That's me. That makes reading God's Word very challenging. That makes reading other books that would also be spiritually encouraging to us very challenging. And it can often lead us to going back to what our past failures are because we're not readers. But God has a special, uniquely designed personality for you, strengths and weaknesses. So you might not be a reader, but maybe you are a person who would be a faithful prayer person. Maybe God has designed you to be a journaler where you can write your thoughts so well, and maybe they rhyme, maybe they don't. But the bottom line is God has designed you that way, so you should flourish in that kind of an environment. That's where your appetites are because God gave you that appetite. God designed you that way. You need to be serving, using those special gifts and talents. If you want your appetite to be fulfilled spiritually, it starts by serving. We need to stop comparing ourselves to others and say, look at all the good things they do. And look at, you know, we are the body. And we all have special gifts and talents. Some of us can only draw the back ends of horses, but I believe some of you can draw the front end just as well. Right? So we come together and we complete the horse. That's what we need to be doing. There's a book that we're going to be challenging us all to read this fall. We're going to have loads and bucket loads of copies of it for you to grab your copy. We're going to be asking you to be in small groups with one another to go through the material that's in this book. It's going to be an opportunity for you to understand and discover your own unique design. It's a book called The Me I Want to Be, written by John Ortberg. And we're going to use this book as we launch into the fall sermon series coming up September, October, to let God show us how we are uniquely designed, so that we can understand those appetites deep within us and how to allow God to fill us through them. One final question. How would you like to see your life change? You know, that strong determination that sometimes we need in eating healthy, we also need some of that strong determination to be spiritually healthy as well. It starts with an honest assessment of where you are. This is critical. If you write nothing else down, or you think of nothing else as you leave here today, think about this. Are you able to give yourself an honest assessment of where you are spiritually today? Then, the next step is to gain a godly vision of what you can be. Gain a godly vision of what can be. What can God do through you? How can He use you? This translates in all kinds of business stuff. I mean, John Harrison, I went to a seminar a couple of weeks ago that taught this. You assess where you are, you get a vision of the preferred future, and then you figure out how to get yourself there. This is no different. In our own spiritual hunger, we need to recognize where we are. Are we healthy spiritually? Are we doing the things we know God desires for us to do? And I'm not talking about being doers all the time. I'm talking about worshiping with the living God, being in the flow of what He wants for us. If not, we need to find that preferred future of what God wants for us and what life can be with Him. And then we need to find the steps to get us there, a plan to get you there. Accountability, I'll tell you. Accountability, a friendship, a relationship of some kind is necessary to keep you moving forward in this plan. That's why in a few weeks we're going to launch small groups at our church all over again. Life groups will become that thing that we believe will be that accountability, friendship, nudging source that we all need to continue to move closer to God. And so we're going to be challenging you to get involved in groups just like this. The Apostle Paul in Philippians talks about how it's so easy for us to get caught up in the things that we typically think are important in church. He talks about all the things that he was before coming to Christ. He was a God follower, but he didn't believe in Jesus Christ as Messiah. He was a God follower to the uttermost. He was committed so much that he was willing to put out this Christian movement because he didn't believe it was of God. And then Jesus came. Just like Jesus might be coming in your life today or this week, Jesus came. We talked about this special moment last week with a blinding light. And then Paul, through the faithfulness of Ananias, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he writes these words, all that stuff that I thought was important to me before that moment, before that road to Damascus, all that stuff I thought was godly, I consider it rubbish. I consider it nothing. But this I do. Not that I've already obtained it, he says in Philippians 3. Or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, this is the key, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting that past, forgetting some of those bad routines, leaving them where they are, and pressing forward to what you know God is calling you to in a healthy habit of forming those appetites deep within you to live within God's flow, to live with God's Holy Spirit deep within you. That's a soul that is hungry for God. That's a soul that is hungry to be filled. That's a soul that has been emptied out and ready for God to do something amazing. So I ask you, are you hungry? Are you really hungry for the past to be forgiven and for God to change you and let your hungers and your appetites to be changed so that they are for Him? So that you become His child, living with so much joy and so much happiness. Because that's what happens when we eat healthy. You know that bodily is true? When we eat healthy, we're happier people. You know that Snicker bar in my refrigerator, I've been thinking about it all week. But all that does is give you a temporary high and then a long-lasting crash, right? What we really need is to be healthy people. We need to be a healthy church who's hungry for God to do amazing things in and through us. But it's a question that God will pose to you and allow you to answer. He won't force Himself on you. But He's looking for men and women who will say, yes, God, I am hungry. And yes, God, I will forget what is behind me. And with Your help, receive the forgiveness needed to begin to move forward and straining toward that prize of being a healthier spiritual person. So, we come down to this moment of decision once again. Prayer, fasting, and surrender. The same challenge we ended with last week. To be people that will put ourselves in a position where we will be seeking God through prayer. That we will put ourselves in a position of hearing His voice by fasting. That we will become people who will quickly honor God by surrender. I know it's late. I know it is. But I would be remiss as your pastor if I don't give you an opportunity to make that commitment today. That decision of surrender. Steve's going to come and lead us in a song of surrender. We're just going to sing a little bit of it today and allow God to move you to a moment of obedience today. Are you hungry for God today? Have you sensed Him just touching your heart today? Tapping you on the shoulder and saying, listen, here I am. I want to satisfy your soul today. I want you to come to me and find your satisfaction in me and not in other things of this world. If God has tapped your shoulder today, I want to challenge you to be obedient, to say yes to Him, to allow His appetites to flood you so that you become hungry and desperate for Him, so that you can sing a song that talks about your heart's desire to live for Him with so much confidence. I'm not here to beat you down. I'm not here to make you feel guilty for where you are. I'm not here to tell you that every Oreo and every Reese's cup, spiritually speaking, is bad. But what I am here to tell you is that God is here to fill your hungry soul. And I want to see our church say yes to that, get hungry, roll up our sleeves, and do whatever it takes for that hunger to be satisfied by Him, by His Holy Spirit. And that might sound old school. That might sound really intimidating. But it's the only way to live. It's the only way to allow God to satisfy you today. So I want to challenge you to obedience today. If you'd like to pray in your seat right where you are, God will meet you. If you want to come and pray at an altar that's up here, you may do that as well. But let's surrender ourselves to Him today. and let Him guide us and lead us in His presence.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.